Joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon is Professor Marianne Wilson. She is a professor in the English department here at UL Lafayette, teaches an amazing array of courses through the university, but is here today to talk about a class that she's teaching through the Friends of the Humanities at UL. So you don't need to be enrolled at the university. This is a special course called New Orleans in Fiction and Film. And before we talk specifically about this course, Marianne, tell us a bit about the Friends of the Humanities for those in our listening audience who don't know about this group.
Okay. It's a wonderful group that's been in existence for since the 1970s. And it began with just a core of several women who were interested in the arts and the humanities and who wanted to help fund them at the university, which they did. And then word got around and it began to grow. And Vaughn Baker from our history department, Mate Alain, both were founding members, and they began teaching courses for the community and in the humanities program. And it kind of snowballed and has grown to a group of over 200 now. And they continue to give money to the university to fund our programs, our travel, faculty travel. They plan wonderful trips to Houston, New Orleans for and Europe for the opera and plays. And it's just a wonderful kind of oasis in what can often seem to be a kind of cultural wasteland, even though there's a lot going on in Acadiana. I think some people need this kind of organization, too.
Well, it's certainly an addition to everything that is here. And the group continues to be insatiable for information and culture.
Yes.
And courses like yours offer us these avenues, particularly if we don't want to be enrolled in a university maybe we already have our degree or aren't interested in a degree, but would like to continue learning.
Yeah, just enrichment classes, non-credit, no tests. If you don't read the whole book, it's okay. Typically, I've done several of these over the years, and typically we draw an interesting, eclectic group from the community. Doctors, lawyers, CPAs, artists, musicians. And it makes it very interesting. And they've traveled, and they have a background and a context, and it's just a different kind of teaching.
So I guess that's the other attraction and draw to taking a class like this. It's in addition to the information you get to meet like-minded people.
You do, yes. And I learn as much from them as they learn from me. They sometimes let me talk. I joke because they love to talk. Mm-hmm. And we have wonderful discussions.
Yeah. And this is a way also to augment your passions and interests as well, which are wide-ranging in Southern literature, women's literature.
Right.
So you get to teach more than you would
exactly
during a regular
right.
semester.
I love teaching in all venues, all ages, and this is something extra that I can do for the friends, for the community, and for myself, too. Mm-hmm. And I hope to turn this into a regular humanities class in the spring, I think we've decided, in 2014.
Well, how did you come up with this particular class, New Orleans in Fiction and Film?
It was just serendipity. I was not thinking about another Friends of the Humanities class. I was strolling through Barnes & Noble, and I saw this anthology called French Quarter Fiction on the remainder table. And I thought, French Quarter Fiction. And that's where I got the idea. I thought, how fascinating to do a course on New Orleans in Fiction and Film, because that's the rubric that these Friends of the Humanities evening classes are. And so that's how it started. And then once you start looking online and thinking about other sources, there are too many to include.
That's right. I mean, I'm fascinated by what you've chosen here, but immediately, and I'm sure everyone who reads this course description will think, but I also want to study this, and
want
to read this.
Of course. Yeah, it was hard to choose, but I tried to get a good sampling of different kinds of media in the course.
Yes, you did. So you start off with that anthology, selections from French Quarter Fiction. Who are some of the writers in that?
Robert Olin Butler, Andre Cadrescu, Julie Smith, Poppy Z. Bright, Tennessee Williams, Richard Ford.
So classic and contemporary writers.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. So they and the stories are relatively short. So we can do several of these, and that's how we'll begin the class, by doing several of these.
So these courses, again, are outside the structure of a university class. You don't need to be in a degree program.
No,
you don't need to be enrolled.
Not at all.
How do you get involved before people really get interested? They're going to want to know how they get involved in this course. Do they have to join the Friends of the Humanities?
No. If they do join, there is a discount. It's $75 if you're a member, and that's for a 5-week Wednesday evening class from 6:30 to 8:30, from Wednesday, February 20th through Wednesday, March 20th, and it's $100 for non-members. So it's really a deal. It's a real bargain.
Any way you look at it,
yeah,
it is.
It is.
So you start off with this wonderful anthology that many of us may not have encountered, set here in our state, Louisiana. Where do you go from there? You've started off with the fiction, but there are so many ways to tell stories these days.
Well, yes, and I've been having this book by Sheila Bosworth called Almost Innocent on my bookcase for years, and I finally pulled it down and started reading it, and I thought, oh, my goodness, this would be great to have in that class because it's set in New Orleans. It has all the trappings of New Orleans fiction, but it's just a wonderful read, and it's decadent, and it's funny, and it's tragic, and it's about growing up Southern and Catholic and female in a particular
in New Orleans.
And Bosworth has a lot to say about that.
I'm so glad you pulled that off the shelf and are resurrecting it for a lot of people who would not have encountered it, because she wrote it at a very particular time. And if you didn't catch her at that moment, you may never encounter her.
I know. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's got a passage in here about her first communion dress, which I'm sure any Catholic girl would recognize. Can I just read a few
absolutely.
Lines?
Yes, absolutely.
And I'll read it in a Southern drawl. I was so excited I couldn't keep my knees from twitching. The dress was all my mother had talked about for weeks. The fine, handmade white silk dress she had worn the day of her own first communion. She and Aunt Matilda had made a great fuss over finding just the right place in town to do it up, and had finally taken it to the most expensive dry cleaner in New Orleans. The dress had been hanging solemnly in a plastic bag in the armoire for 3 days now. And then she goes on to talk about the ritual of First Communion, which all little Catholic girls went through.
Well, and even if you didn't, her descriptions are so vivid. And
yes.
I'm glad you did the Southern accent because, as I mentioned before we started the interview, I heard her on NPR back in the 80s after this book and her other one came out. And she did. She had a very Southern drawl.
Yeah.
Which we don't associate necessarily. We think of the Yat accent, but that was very much a part of a certain culture in New Orleans.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be the second offering, the
That'll
second week.
That'll be the second. Mm-hmm. And then the third week, I didn't bring Ben Sandmel's wonderful Ernie Cato biography. It's a huge book. It's called Ernie Cato, the R&B Emperor of New Orleans, and it just came out in 2012, and Ben Sandmel, the author, has agreed to come and talk to the class. So he will be there the night of Wednesday, March 6th. And this book is fabulous. It's all about rhythm and blues in New Orleans. There was even an Ernie Cato lounge, a mother-in-law lounge in New Orleans.
And that's his famous song, of course, Mother-in-Law.
Exactly, Mother-in-Law, which many people of my generation will remember, and which made his reputation. And it's all about Mardi Gras Indian culture and music and food. And it's just an amazing biography. And the introduction to the book was written by Peter Guralnick, who wrote the Elvis Presley biography. And he thinks this book is right up there with his own.
Well, in addition to Peter Guralnick's commendation for this book, all of the great music magazines around the country have been giving it good press since it was published earlier this past year.
Yeah.
So a real treat to get to hear Ben talk about the book, to discuss music and New Orleans. He's made New Orleans his home, I think, for several decades now and really knows about it. So worth signing up for the course to have that opportunity.
Oh, it is. And I just want to say that James Carville said, I was once asked if I was ever elected president, who would I hire to play at my inauguration? My immediate answer was Ernie Cato. This book explains all my reasons why. What? So if that doesn't make you want to read it, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you're covering fiction, you're covering mm-hmm. biography and music in New Orleans.
Yes.
Where do you go from there?
Well, then we'll watch the next week, March 13th, some selections from the HBO series Tremé, which has gotten wonderful reviews from people who know New Orleans. And as an accurate depiction of New Orleans, has won several awards. And we'll just watch a sampling and talk about the depiction of New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Louisiana gets such mixed public press, I think, that this is a post-Katrina version of what happened when people tried to put their lives together. And mm-hmm. I think it's an amazing array of personalities and pretty accurate depiction of the New Orleans I know, anyway.
And that should make for some great discussion
yes.
afterwards.
Yes, yes.
And again, you know, that whole idea of how do you tell a story and how mm-hmm. do you create a work of art out of our surroundings and the stories that we tell every day.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And that city's been so mythologized in so many ways. And I just want to take a look at some of the ways in which authors
mm-hmm. and grapple with
writers,
it
and, musicians mm-hmm. have dealt with it.
Yeah. I want to tell people who may be tuning in, my guest is Professor Mary Ann Wilson. She's a professor at UL Lafayette in the English department. She is teaching a course this spring through the Friends of the Humanities, which is open to anyone to take. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be in a degree program, just have an interest in New Orleans
right.
and in reading New Orleans fiction and watching New Orleans film. It starts on February 20th, and we're just going through some of the selections that Marianne has chosen for the course. And then kind of an interesting book. I don't know that a lot of people may have encountered it.
We'll end up with John Shelton Reed's Dixie Bohemia, A French Quarter Circle in the 1920s. This is the story of what was going on in the 1920s when Sherwood Anderson, the American writer, and William Faulkner were together, rooming together in the quarter. And which in what is now a flat in Pirate's Alley, and about their role in the culture, musical and literary culture of New Orleans, and also how they were there on the cusp of that historic preservation revitalization of the quarter, which was taking place then, and all the literary folk that gathered then. People are not aware of what a literary mecca the 1920s French Quarter was.
Mm-hmm. And
writers
artistic
from everywhere.
Too. Painters
yes.
came as well.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. And so this story that John Shelton Reed tells is amazing. He divides it into the various personalities who were there and the kinds of interactions they had, old and young, male and female, and about that amazing culture that was there in that time period. Mm-hmm. And he was one of the featured readers at the Louisiana Book Festival. So I heard him read from this book and went up to talk to him afterward. Yeah.
Well, I can see how our perception of New Orleans will be broadened and enriched by this course.
I hope so.
You already have people filling up the class.
Yes.
So if anyone listening is interested in taking this class, which just runs for 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm. 5 Wednesday evenings.
Starting uh-huh. in February. Mm-hmm. You should probably think about signing up very soon.
Yes.
And how can they do that, Marianne?
They can call me at 298-0406, or they can email me at the university at MAW, my initials, 0383@louisiana.edu.
All right. If you didn't get to write all those down, you can just call the English department at
right,
UL and ask
right.
for Professor Marianne
They'll
Wilson.
Find me.
Well, let's go quickly through the selections that you'll be covering in this course.
Okay. Wednesday, February 20th, we'll be reading short stories from the anthology French Quarter Fiction, The Newest Stories of America's Oldest Bohemia. Wednesday, February 27th, Sheila Bosworth's novel, Almost Innocent, written in 1996. Wednesday, March 6th, Ben Sandmell's biography of the rhythm and blues musician Ernie Cato. And he, Ben Sandmell, will come from New Orleans to talk to us about the writing of this book and about his friendship with Ernie Cato. Wednesday, March 13th, we'll watch selections from the HBO television series Tremé and discuss the depiction of New Orleans in that. And finally, Wednesday, March 20th, we'll read John Shelton Reed's Dixie Bohemia, A French Quarter Circle in the 1920s, and talk about the little Greenwich Village-type culture that was established in the 1920s French Quarter.
Amazing collection of works. In this course, New Orleans in Fiction and Film, taught by my guest, Professor Mary Ann Wilson, through the Friends of the Humanities. If you're interested in signing up for this course, which begins on February 20th, you can contact her through the UL English Department.
Yes.
Well, Mary Ann, thank you so much for doing all of this.
This is extra work in addition to your courses that you teach. When you love teaching, I guess you just try to find all the venues you can.
And when you love culture and literature as well.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks,
Marianne.
Thank you.